and I was the first full-time female youth officer employed by a local government, City of Bayswater. I was Citizen of the Year. See, I've got all the awards and that over there.
You have so many awards in this room.
Yeah, and then those two things, one from the Prime Minister and the Governor-General, on one for sport and one for community.
When you get your telegram from the Queen in 5 years.
From the King.
But, oh!
It's not the Queen, it's the King.
Oh, my God.
In 4 years.
When you get your telegram from the King in a few years' time, do you have a space ready for that?
I'll make it.
Yeah.
Welcome to Season 3 of Her Story. This series delves into the stories of inductees to the Western Australian Women's Hall of Fame. I'm Beck Bowman, and I'll be with you each week as we get to know these remarkable women whose lives have had a profound impact on communities throughout this state they choose to call home. Together, we will meet women who are cultural and environmental custodians, women in STEM and in business, women who care for the health and well-being of those around them, women who are changing the world from right here in WA.
Laura Tolliday's impact across Western Australia's sport and recreational landscape spans 8 decades. She was a state champion in netball and also excelled at table tennis and cricket. She went on to become the first female employed as a recreation officer in local government for the City of Bayswater. Laura was inducted into the Western Australian Women's Hall of Fame in 2023. This is her story.
Laura, thank you so much for having me in your home today.
That's all right.
So you've given me this book to read. I'm so pleased that this is a thing in the world. It's called The Life and Legacy of Laura May Tolliday.
Yeah.
And there's a photograph of an article from the newspaper in here from 1975 that says, Super Granny takes the lead.
Yeah.
So in 1975, people were calling you Granny.
Yeah.
And now it's 2023.
They call me Ma now because I had a grandma and a nana. So they call me Ma.
So you're now a great, great grandma.
Yeah, yeah. 5 generations. Not many people have 5 generations now.
No, really?
Because I had my 4 kids between 21 and 30. These days they're not starting till after 30, are they?
A lot of people are choosing not to have babies. And
no, they live together and then they have babies later on.
When you started getting all this attention and you started getting in the newspapers, how did that feel?
Oh, well, I kept working in the community for years. And the Bedford Youth Club, I did a lot of work in there and we got things going for young people, you know, so that they didn't get into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Got them together and, you know, they did all sorts of things.
I guess one of the spaces that you're most passionate about in terms of organising community activities is sport. What kind of sports have you arranged in the community over the years? Can you give us a list of all the sports?
Netball, tennis, yeah, tennis and table tennis and walking. I started the first walking groups years ago. I realised people my age can't run and jump anymore. So I developed this game. I went over and had a look at a man over the eastern states had a game called shot ball, but I didn't like it. So I went and had a look at it and I thought, oh, that, you can tell a man developed that. So then I came home and I developed a cool walk ball. And I registered it, but I didn't patent it. And he found out and he patented it.
Oh.
So I was working for Rhonda Parker at the time and in the positive ageing. We decided we'd make it life ball. So that's what the walking ball game was. You could walk and pass and walk and pass, whereas before you had to run and you could sort of step one, whereas before you had to land and stay on that one foot. And it hurts your back and everything, you know.
You organised roller skating?
There was a roller skating hall in Kalgoorlie, but that's when I developed it for something else that people could do.
Mm. So you've just taken all these community places where people meet,
yeah.
And then encourage people to get out of their houses and play
the sport and make friends and socialise. And it also teaches them teamwork, working together, because when you're on a team of sport, you've got to work together as a team, not as an individual. I've always worked in the community and I've done lots of things. I was giving a talk at Balladura High School one year and I went past this room and it was full of computers and I thought, oh, I've been trying to get a grant to buy some to put into aged people's homes, you know. And so I went in and saw the teacher and he said, that's a good idea. He said, I've got a bunch of rebels in my class. And he couldn't believe how much they'd changed because they had to have patience to teach us how to use, because we didn't even know how to turn the thing on.
So you started a program where the teenagers taught the seniors how to use the computer.
Yeah, well, it was just all the school, went into the school, yeah. You know, I took quite a few of the seniors into where the computers were,
mm-hmm.
and the kids all taught them how to use it because we didn't know how to use them.
That's something that is really important to you as well.
Yeah.
This idea of intergenerational learning and intergenerational community. What about that is so special for you?
Well, I think a lot of kids nowadays don't always see their grandparents or great-grandparents there because they're either over east or overseas. And so they've got to learn to respect older people and also work together as a team, because I think with the energy of the young people and all the, you know, things that the seniors know, make a good team.
Mm.
Well, that's why I like to work intergenerational programs.
Plus, you've got five generations of family.
Yeah, and we're still close. Even when I used to run the youth club in Bedford and we'd have the cabaret on a Saturday night, I used to take the kids, put the cushions behind the chairs and put them down to sleep while we got up and danced, my husband and I. And when they got a bit older, they got up and learnt to dance as well.
When you say learn to dance, you you weren't just like wiggling on the dance, or you're doing proper dance.
Oh yeah, the ballroom dancing, and then also did the slosh. And in these later years, I've been teaching people how to do the slosh.
What is the slosh? Please tell me what is the slosh.
A slosh is like this.
Oh my gosh! Okay.
It's when you go 1, 2, 3, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, then you go. You do it to music.
I don't know, give that a go later.
The staff of the Amana Living, well, I've been teaching them, and they think it was good. An old lady like me getting up and showing around to do the slot.
When you were in your late teens, early 20s, you were playing netball, which was called basketball,
women's basketball, women's rules in those days. They didn't change it till the 60s before they changed it to netball.
How did that happen? Why was it called basketball?
Well, women played that rule, you see, and then they changed it for women to netball, so it was a different game from the men's.
So you were playing on the state team for netball, which was basketball. We're all going to get very confused now.
You can see photos of me in the local paper. Yeah.
These are pictures of you doing some amazing leaps into the air.
Yeah, that was when I was young.
And that was in 1947, 48. Yeah. At the same time that you were on the state team, you were also playing table tennis.
Yeah.
And you learned table tennis through your job at the bank.
Yeah, because on the fourth floor we had a recreation room. And I used to go and play against the men and it made me strong.
Did the men welcome you to the recreation room? Were they welcoming of you coming in?
It was good because I think I had the eye-hand coordination because of what I used to do with cricket and everything. And so I learned table tennis easily. And we didn't play ping pong like they do now. It's more, you know, like a tennis.
Oh, okay.
On the table. And then I won the City of Fremantle as well, the singles and doubles and mixed doubles, and I did a lot of that sort of stuff in those days.
So you were representing the bank in that team?
Yeah, there were four of us.
So didn't that happen in the space of about 18 months where you were representing WA in three different sports?
You know, in cricket and netball, but not table tennis.
But table tennis, you were still in like a high-level team?
Yeah, when we went tried for the top position.
Don't be putting yourself down. This is the state singles, so you're in covering three sports at state level.
Yeah,
in the space of 18 months, that's amazing.
Yeah,
and holding down a job.
Yeah, I was working in the bank at that stage. I was about 20, 19 and 20 when I was doing that.
Is that how you met your husband?
I met him when I was going dancing. And then I stopped and had four kids. And then when they went to schools, when I went back to doing all the work I had to do in the community, although when they were little, I used to take them everywhere with me.
So you were still working, you were still doing stuff in the community?
I enjoyed doing that.
What did you enjoy about it? What did you get out of it?
Oh, the fact that the community sort of came together. I think because I developed programs that got the community to come together, one of the walking programs I did was a walk-to-school program, and I'd get a parent, like a mother with her child, to come and pick up the next one and then the next one, and then they walk to school because it was safer to have, you know, parents with you. I did that because I thought that that was a good way to, and then I started the ordinary walking groups, so people did walking just to keep exercising, because if you're sitting too long, what you don't use, you lose.
So this walking bus where you kind of got the kids to school and pick them up at each house along the way sounds like a brilliant idea.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
There's been a number of initiatives that you've launched that have been such great ideas and then maybe have fallen out of favour for a little while, but now we're seeing this resurgence of them again. So, for example, the Intergenerational Activity Association is now, we're now seeing that again in shows like Seniors Home for Teenagers and like Old People's Home for Kindergartners. Like that kind of thinking seems to be happening again. Are you happy about that? Does that kind of make you pleased to know that these ideas are
coming back again?
Yeah.
I know the Bedford Youth Club, they used to have about over 1,000 juniors in there, but now they can't get anybody to take charge. The younger generation are not stepping forward to take positions, whereas we did. We all the families used to run it, you know, and help each other and go out together. We used to even go on holidays together. I had a program called COCO, Come Out Camping Older Adults. We used to go camping all around, and I'd take some juniors with some seniors into a camp and have a holiday, you know, and seniors didn't have holidays in those days, so it was good that they could go down and they had juniors work with them.
What do you think is driving the reluctance to take on those positions these days?
Oh, they just sort of said they're too busy because we didn't have a television or this thing. I think that takes over.
This thing being the phone.
Yeah. Even the little kids, you know. When you go out, often you see them going and buying lunch, two kids are sitting there like this while the mum and dad are over the side. They don't talk to them. It sort of takes over their life, and they sit for hours and hours in a room with this thing talking instead of socially mixing.
And yet sports are still really highly enrolled in.
Oh, yeah. Now the cricket especially are developing the women's and all that sort of stuff. But I remember I started the netball in Meriden, and then in Grass Patch I did that. I went to one of the schools and there were more boys than girls, so I taught the boys as well.
Mm.
And the netball association said, but we don't have boys in this. And I said, well, I do. I don't belong to you. So, and we did. And the boys, I said, if they just learn the eye-hand coordination thing, they can do whatever sport they want to later on.
So you were you started the first mixed netball team in WA.
Well, I would have. I started them in the country, yeah.
You've been all around WA with your family, starting up clubs and bringing the community together through sport.
Yeah, and the community affairs, you know, sort of even the dancing. And we used to have, when we had the youth club, I used to have a dance on dancing nights as well. So we got the kids to get up on the floor and learn to do all sorts of dancing.
Do you have a favourite WA landmark, a favourite WA town that you really treasure the memory of?
No, I think they're all just, they were all good. Whichever one I went to Kalgoorlie and Northam and all down the coast and all around the place. I used to travel a lot and drive a lot.
It sounds like it.
That was good because then I'd meet with in the particular country towns because in the city of Wanneroo had all domes. I organised the first community centre because I said, why do everybody have to have their own little office and headquarters? I said, why don't we build a community centre so everybody uses it? And that's what we did. We got some grants from the government and we built community centres, and that's how they started.
I love that you just dropped that so casually into conversation. You just revolutionised the way that community services are delivered at state level or local government level through community centres, which are still super important parts of our communities.
I'm knitting now because physically I can't do what I used to do, so I'm knitting for kids who need them now in the knitting group that I belong to.
When you talk about knitting, do you mean you're knitting jumpers and beanies or...?
Jumpers. A lot of the other people are doing beanies and scarves and rugs, but they want me to do jumpers. I do 2, 4 and 6-year-olds for boys and girls, and they go to the Ronald Donald House and... across the Nullarbor for the kids who, when it's cold. And I do the boat neck one so they can just pull it down and don't have to worry about buttons.
Yeah.
So I do that and they give you the yarn and you just knit it.
So these days you are keeping yourself busy and keeping active. You're knitting, you've got a mana living.
I go out on Thursdays, yeah.
How are you making sure that your body stays active?
That every hour I get up and I either use my pedals or I do my 200 steps around the table.
This dining table?
Yeah, to keep active because I said what you don't use, you seize up and lose it. You know, you've got to keep walking. It's as good an exercise as anything. Keep moving.
I am really impressed with your commitment to keeping up the walking and moving your body and keeping it's like active.
And my mind, I've still got my mind.
Yeah.
I watch the quizzes and I used to do the crosswords all the time and it keeps the mind going, you know. Otherwise, you just sort of lose it, you know, how the people get dementia or Alzheimer's and that sort of stuff. I wouldn't like to do that.
We've been talking about all this work you've been doing in the community and I feel like we need to maybe address the fact that this was your job as well. So you went to Perth Modern, you got a scholarship up to fifth year, high school.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you had to leave and get a job. But you went on to train to be a recreation officer.
Well, I was the first female recreation officer in Australia and I was the first full-time female youth officer employed by local government, City of Bayswater. I was Citizen of the Year. See, I've got all the awards and that over there.
You have so many awards in this room.
Yeah, and then those two things, one from the Prime Minister and the Governor-General, on one for sport and one for community.
When you get your telegram from the Queen in 5 years.
From the King. It's not the Queen, it's the King.
Oh, my God.
In 4 years.
When you get your telegram from the King in a few years' time, do you have a space ready for that?
I'll make it.
Yeah. So that first job was with the City of Bayswater.
And I went out the community and found out what the community wanted or needed. And that's when I set things up, you know, and got them going.
Which was a really community-centric model.
Well, it had never been done before and you just had to find out. And as I said, it was much better to have it run, these sort of organisations run by the community, because it would last forever. Like the Prime Movers are still going and we started that all those years ago.
My mum goes to Prime Movers every Friday and I'm very jealous. I wish they had a Prime Movers for my age, to be honest.
Well, they do. They have a Prime Movers going everywhere now. You need to find out what people need and then you think about things and what could run that or I could do that, you know. And that's what I did. I'd go out and I'd find someone that would help run it because if the government ran the organisation, it would run out of money, it would stop. Whereas with a community, it keeps going.
It's sustainable over a longer term.
Yeah.
And because it's coming from the needs of the people who are running it, you also can be confident that people are invested.
Yeah, and it gets the community to know each other too. It's a good idea, you know, to sort of run them, and that's what you have to do now. I started a lot of the netball. I mean, the one in Kingsley, I got that going. That was all bush when we built that one. And I've started quite a few of the netball groups around Australia, around Western Australia. And then when I retired, when I gave away the intergenerational, one of the ladies from the Eastern States rang me and said, can I have that light ball program? She said, I don't like the man's one over here. And I said, I didn't either. So I sent all the stuff over to her, to Aubrey Wodonga, and she's running it right throughout, because I was about to start it in the primary school so the obese kids could play that game, so they could walk and pass and walk and pass and walk and pass, you know, instead of throwing it. And then I got kids to make short goalposts up against the other ones, and we threw it underarm because everybody has sore shoulders and things now. As they get older, that's what happens with your body.
when you were doing that first job as recreation officer with the City of Bayswater and saying, oh no, I'm going to go out and find out what people want, was there any pushback from the city, from your bosses saying,
no,
you don't do it like that?
No, they were really pleased that I was doing what I was doing. And they thought it was good because we did a lot of innovative programs, you know, that other people. And I mean, there was me and five men first started. And when we used to go and meet together, it's funny, they'd find out that, oh, I'd run that program. And said, oh, how did you do that? So they copied it, you know.
Like that bloke that stole your patient for... When you think back on all the things that you've started and achieved, what are you most proud of?
Oh, just generally everything that involved the community. I don't care. I just sort of felt that people should get to know each other in a community and work together, and it sort of would make us safer, because they're talking now about all the crime that's going on with some of the kids. And if they had these other programs, they wouldn't be doing that.
Mm.
So I don't know. It's a different world.
You reckon sport is a cure-all?
Well, no, it's just gives them the chance of having friends and socially meeting and teamwork. And there's so many different sports now they can play, like they can do the Pilates and all those sort of things. That wasn't available in our day.
If you were going to pick a sport that wasn't available to you when you were younger to have a go at, what would you do? Would you be pole dancing?
No. They didn't have any of those sports in those days. All they had was cricket and football, swimming. They didn't even have hockey or those sort of things in those days.
But is there a sport that you would have liked to have tried?
No, I tried... When the YWCA came to Western Australia, they came to modern school and showed us, and I tried hockey, but I got the ball, hit my shin, and I thought, oh, I'll play hockey.
Hockey was hard. Hockey was so hard.
Clever the way they do the sticks now, isn't it? So, you know, that's why I went to basketball, netball, as it was then.
So you don't have any regrets about missing out on yoga?
No.
No.
Well, I did enough. And with the kids, you know, we used to go everywhere. When we went on holidays, we'd go down to a camp or something, and kids and I would go out. They did everything together. We didn't have babysitters in our day. We just take the kids everywhere. Whereas in these days now, the grandmas and great-grandmas are looking after the kids.
Oh, so your parents didn't babysit?
No. The only time they did it was when... I was living with them for a while, and before we got our house.
So, Laura, while you started at the City of Bayswater, you ended up being at the state level as a recreation officer in the Department for Local Sport and Recreation. And that was where you were when you were heading out to Northam and Meriden and starting netball. When you did retire from that position, that was when you really started working from home, and you started the Seniors Helping At-Risk Kids, which eventually was picked up by the Red Cross, and a program called Justice, Juveniles
Using Seniors to Implement Climate Education. Seniors Helping At-Risk Kids.
Yep. The Intergenerational Advisory
Network, yeah.
And all of these initiatives, all of these programs were either started with or had heavy involvement from your daughter. How did you and your daughter work together during that time?
Oh, quite good, actually. She did a couple of programs I did around the state. Her and Dennis, they used to work together. Yeah, the Walking for Fitness. And then we changed it to the Life Ball.
So did you see this as a way to continue connecting with your family, with your daughter, after you had stopped playing sport yourself?
I used to go and watch the softball at times. And now some of the grandkids and great-grandkids are playing sport, but not all of them.
Oh, you seem a bit disappointed.
Yeah, I don't care what sport it is, as long as it's sport of some sort.
Do you get out to watch them?
Sometimes. It depends on whether my daughter can drive me and take me. We do sometimes, don't we?
Are any of them going to be representing the state anytime soon?
Oh, there is one, isn't there? Oh, yeah, Erica, me and my youngest daughter played lacrosse, and she represented the state in that.
So you've been able to continue on through the generations, this love of sport and love of community.
But one of the great-grandchildren been picked, I think, in the state team.
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about that we haven't managed to cover?
Well, I just think that I'd like people to volunteer, because I think volunteering is great. You make a lot of friends, and you can sort of help the program to get going, you know.
Well, thank you for all the volunteer hours you put into WA, because I feel like it wouldn't be the same state without the work that you've done over the
years. Yeah, because a lot of the things I look back on and think, oh, I got that going, you know. Like the recreation centres, they're everywhere now.
100%. They should all be called the Laura Tolliday Recreation Centre. Like every single one of them should be called Laura Tolliday Recreation Centre. Laura, thank you so much for inviting us into your home and telling your story. It's been lovely.
Thanks to all the women at the WA Women's Hall of Fame. And thanks to the incredible women and femmes who make Her Story on RTRFM happen. Our executive producer is Danae Gibson. Rachel Ang and Madeline Mitchell are our assistant producers. Emily Jane Reid is our production assistant. Our theme music is an original composition from Annika Moses with artwork from Peter Roebuck. Her Story is an RTRFM podcast series about women in the Western Australian Women's Hall of Fame. This podcast was produced on Whadjuk Noongarrbuja. RTRFM acknowledges and pays respect to the Aboriginal elders of the land, past and present. These lands were never ceded. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. You can find out more at cbf.org.au.